number 21B.
Yes, that say one has a sense. Yes, I know the truth, and I know the truth about true men, and I see everyone as the true men, that's the fatherhood of the others, huh? Fathering the others. I see them in the true men, but, you know, the other one doesn't see it. Huh? The other one has a mentality that does not accept that, that goes on and on and on in the old way. Everybody laughs, smiles, and says, yes, I know that at home. I know that with my husband or with my wife or with my children and so on, with my grandchildren, etc., etc. Well, this is practical Christianity, that one begins to see we don't have to believe really the mortal picture. We have to establish a universe of ideas, and in that universe of ideas, everyone has within itself the consciousness of fathering himself too. Everyone has the consciousness and the enlightenment that he is going to see himself in the true light. Huh? Yes. Then you have the fourth relationship, that every idea fathers the whole universe and us. A very interesting subject too. What is the negative problem that is healed here? What is the suggestion that is widespread in our life that makes life so miserable to most people day in and day out and year in and year out? This very point. This very point here. It's an absolutely practical point. Yes?
Well, we think we have something and they don't, or they have something and we don't.
Yes? Oh? Yeah?
Is it that we think something? Is it that the other person doesn't think that we have it?
Yes? You, very simply put, yeah?
Is it that we only think there's somebody out there who's not bothering us, that the whole world is full of, is just not doing right by us?
Yes.
And it's their fault.
Yes, yes. Don't you feel that you are living in a universe that is hostile, that doesn't like us?
Hmm?
That's it. Huh? They don't see us in the true light.
Huh?
Yes, that's as simple as that. Huh? Can you see the practical aspect of these things? These are not four academical jungling of ideas. Huh? It's our universe. Do you really feel you walk around in this universe, in your family, in your relationship, in your business, in your groups and friends, feeling there is a hostile universe at work? They don't see me in the true light. How bad they are. They are just nuts, you know. They don't see me as the Son of God. That's that relationship. That the universe does not father us. That's the greatest claim all over the world. And life here would show, oh no. See, the whole universe cannot help but fathering me. The only thing you have to do, you don't have to listen or to look at the material picture. The material picture seems to be different. But that's not the universe. See? Can you see now how life, truth and love here, how life, truth and love here, has no foundation if we have not first built the foundation through principle, mind, soul, spirit. To arrive first at a universe that is only spiritual, that is only a universe of ideas and not a universe of people. The moment we have a universe of people, you certainly have a hostile universe. You can't help it. That's innate in people. That's what makes up people. That they have a personal sense, a limited sense of the universe. Therefore, only then when we first establish through principle, mind, soul, spirit, a universe that is only of the nature of ideas and of spiritual ideas, then it makes sense that we can say, and that whole universe is fathering me, is supporting me, providing for me, is maintaining me, is preserving me. Is that another universe? Is it a completely different universe?
It takes into the wider issue of one nation not liking another nation, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because the nation universe is naturally the mortal universe, it's not the idea universe. But we can live here right now, in spite of the world, in this world, and be untouched by the mortal world, and establish within ourselves that consciousness of the true relationship, that we begin to see, oh, they only want to bless me. That's the fatherhood sense. Think if we would walk around in the universe feeling everything and everybody as ideas, or that there is a universe of ideas. Let's put it even more purely, that the whole universe of ideas, all the ideas of God, are constantly supporting me, maintaining me, nurturing me, providing for me, that they are always giving me, feeding me, supporting me. That would be another universe than what we have. But that's a true universe. It actually does so. The only thing is that we lose sight of it, and then we don't feel it.
Can you tell me why Mrs. Eddy uses the gospel of love when she's talking about one father with his universal family held in the gospel of love? What does she mean by the gospel?
I think she means here life, truth, and love, right at this point. Yes. I think she says that also in relationship with absolute Christian science, Christianity in absolute Christian science, as life and love, held in the gospel of love, yes. I guess gospel means that Christianity, you see.
The gospel means good news.
The good news. But what kind of good news? The prophet also had the good news. But it was the Christ news that said, I come, and if you don't bend your knees, I just knock you down. That's what the prophets were telling. I am the bulldozer. If you don't get out of the way, I knock you down and roll you flat. You can't resist it. But the gospel, as it is called in the Bible, is the New Testament. And that New Testament is the testament of relationships. What Jesus brought there is that he showed that through the Christ we have a new Christianity, which is new relationships. Yeah.
Then you can take this sense of relationship through the word order, or the Christ order, and establish it in that manner for yourself?
Yes, 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 yes. Did you hear what she was asking?
No.
Yeah. She said that if we see these relationships that we have been considering, that then can we take these ideas through the word order to enlarge it? Actually, the answer is yes. Why through the word order? What is the purpose of a word order?
To establish the nature of that.
Absolutely. To establish the nature of something that is divine. Always when you establish the nature going up the ladder as unfolding from an inception, it's always the word. The word is always what we call, we have a nice term in German which you don't have in English, the nearest that is, always when you have to clarify a term or something, clarify, which means it's blurred, it's in the darkness, it's misty, you don't know quite, and you begin step by step to clarify that concept, that's the word order. It's the creative word order. It's like an artichoke, you say. You take away one leaf after the other until you really come to the core of it. So that's what you do with the word order. You put away the false sense of it at every step of the synonymous term until you come to the perfect concept. That's why always, no matter where you are, if you are in the Word, in the Christ, in Christianity, or in science, the moment you say, now what does that mean? Then you clarify it through the Word order. See?
You could also take it through the Christ order, couldn't you?
Not when you say, what does it mean, no?
No, no. I mean, if you wanted to establish
it, no. Yes. I understand you. It's absolutely right. Say, if you establish it, and you say, all right, I establish now in Christianity the right relationships in fatherhood. And see now, here in the fourth one, that the whole universe is not a hostile universe to me, but it's a universe that supports me, maintains me, and provides for me. And you say, now, how does it provide? How does it provide? Then you go to the word of, because you said, how? You don't know how. The moment we don't know how, we are in the darkness. Therefore, we have to clarify. And you can go through the word order. Huh? Say, yes, it provides me. Provides me with what? With the ideas of mind. Huh? Provides me with vision, with intelligence. It provides me through ideas of spirit. It really sees me as spiritual ideas and not as a personal concept. Therefore, it provides me with the spiritual abilities, with spiritual faculties. He provides me with the sinless nature of being, with the unchangeable nature of being. He knows that I'm at the point of balance. And you provide me with the ideas of principle and see that they consider me as an idea of principle, not as a person in this personal sense. I know they look at me from the point of view of life and they see me as an eternal idea, not as a mortal. They see me at the point of truth, as a state of consciousness and not as a funny thinking person with an erroneous consciousness and with all kinds of funny ideas, funny thoughts, concepts, not funny ideas. They see me from the point of view of love. And they see my plan. They see my mission. They support that mission. They see my whole plan of salvation. They support that. Then comes your question. What about the Christ? Where does the Christ come in? And then you can see, yes, these ideas have a Christ. That is not only a statement, but these ideas have the Christ. And you can see that in these ideas lies the whole potentiality of principle. And therefore, that whole potentiality of those ideas which have a principle have a dynamic effect. They work, life. They work in such a way that it works out that truth which is right necessary for the moment. And we begin to see that that idea is of the nature of love because it will do anything and will mobilize everything in the universe to fulfill itself. And therefore, at the point of soul, I know that that is going to change things, reform things, change things, and purify a situation because it's of the nature of spirit and chucks out everything that does not belong to it. And therefore, at the point of mind, I see that this mind potency is so big that the true, clear, pure idea will come to manifestation. And you have taken the Christ. Always only depends what question you ask. See, the moment you ask a question of clarification, it's the word. The moment you ask the question, but does that pull itself through? Does that demonstrate itself? Does that have power to manifest itself? You take the Christ. Did you get it? Easily. Yeah, easily. Okay. So that's the fatherhood of the idea. In the same way, we could go to truth, the sonship of the idea, which would be now another a step further, the claiming of our manhood, the claiming of our sonship, the affirming of our sonship. So what is the problem in the first one, first relationship, to sonship ourselves? What do we do when we sonship ourselves? Just a little bit more than we father ourselves.
We accept ourselves. That's who we are here.
That's motherhood. We claim it. We affirm it. We say, yes, this is a fact. Yes, this is a truth. What the Father has thrown upon me, the Son says, yes, and this is so. This is actually so. This is actually the truth. This is actually the fact, and you affirm it, and you claim your to be the idea. You don't claim a motor car or a nice house, you claim ideas. You claim the idea man, I am the idea man. You come here to the affirmation sense, And so, again, you can say, but how do I affirm myself as the idea? You say, all right, if I ask how, then you have asked the word. And you can affirm yourself and say, yes, as the complete idea man, I am already at the point of being the idea of intelligence, of action, of power. Yes, at that point I affirm that my manhood is at the point of substance and of fruitfulness of spirit and of unfoldment and evolution. Yes, at the point of soul, I am sinless right now. I am unchangeable as my identity. My identity cannot change. I affirm that and I know it that it is so. And at the point of principle, you say, yes, I'm not a person, I'm actually an idea of God, a principled idea of God, I am a systematic idea of God, I am the idea, the compound idea, constantly demonstrating itself. Yes, at the point of life, I am already now an eternal idea, never born, never dying, always at the point of isness. Yes, right now, I am the idea man at the point of truth. I have a divine consciousness. I don't have to gain the divine consciousness. I am the divine consciousness. I have dominion. I am the Son of God. Yes, at the point of love, I am accepted by God. I am really cherished by God and loved by God and fulfilled by God. Yes, I have a plan in God's universe. Can you hear? You affirm it. It sounds a little bit like the old question of affirmation and denial, but it's naturally on a much higher basis. Huh? But you claim it for yourself. And so the same thing, what is the second relation? The sonship being the other, every other one? What does it mean? What do you do with your husband and with your children? When you sonship your children, what do you do? You say he is no good, he should do this and he should do that and he doesn't do it, and how on earth can I make him do this and that? Or what do you do? Is that sonshipping the idea? No. Huh? What do you do then? You claim it for him. Huh? You know that he too is the Son of God. And as the Son of God, you claim for him that he knows what he is. That we claim that everyone as the Son of God knows that he is the Son of God, and therefore affirms for him, even if we don't see it with our eyes and hear it with our ears, even if it seems absolutely the contrary, that's practice. Practice is not to affirm what the five physical senses tell us. Practice is to stick with the spiritual universe at the point of spirit and stick there and say, okay, I stay with the spiritual universe. In the spiritual universe, I see that every idea, every man knows himself as the idea man. He's absolutely aware of that and therefore affirms from himself that he has the vision of God, that he has the greatest insight into God, that he cannot be deprived of the vision of God. He knows that, and he knows as the idea of spirit that there is only spiritual substance, that only the spiritual matters, that not the material matters. Therefore, he is spiritually minded. And you go on right through the seventh enormous temple. Is that, that's practice. Yeah? That's different than always to be bothered about the husband and wife and the children and the aunts and the grandmother and I don't know what, who do not want to do the things we want them to do. We have to lift ourselves out of the material universe, out of the people universe, in business, everywhere, out of the material universe, into the idea universe, and stay there, and never go again away from the housetop, go down from the housetop, stay there. That's the only true universe there is. Yeah?
Really doing is getting rid of the people universe.
Yes, you see, that's, I mean, life, truth, and love, actually the whole Christianity order is a wonderful way of getting rid of the people universe. This is the salvation. It's not then when we don't have to start there where some people feel that we should start with not having children and that the world will be saved of not having children. I think we should start right now. We should start to see that we have not a children universe, a people universe. See, there is some kind of saying that Jesus said, when will be the salvation of the world? That he said, when women will no more bear children. All right, that's okay. That may be some thousand years hence. I like to be here right now and not wait until other people don't have any more children. I can get rid of a children universe and the people universe right now through this Christianity order. That's where we have to start, right now, and lift up that people universe out of itself. Isn't Christianity doing that in a wonderful way? All right. So that would be sonshipping others. Actually, you have the third direction where you feel that did we have the third already? We said sonshipping, that we see that each one sonships himself, huh? Then we come to the point that the whole world sonships us. Huh? So that's the fourth direction. The world sonships us. What is the fundamental claim is naturally that the world never sees us as the Son of God. That they always see us as a mortal, as a failing mortal, a mortal that has pros and cons, good and evil, and so the world begins to see us that way. Now, in order to correct that, it's a question of our consciousness. What kind of a consciousness do we have? And so we start out by seeing that also the world sees us, sees me and the others as the Son of God. And we begin to establish that consciousness. Is that clear? Edith?
Max, all this should be enough to free the hostages,
huh? Oh, yes. Think of the 4 billion people that are in slavery to the sense, that are in slavery to personal sense, that are in slavery to the body, that are in slavery to misunderstanding, that are in slavery of ignorance. We have 4 billion hostages on this planet. 4 billion today. And in a few years there will be 8 billion hostages. Huh? All enslaved. Much more enslaved than you're 50 in Iran. Much more. Huh? Yes. So we have to free the world. Huh? Yeah. What about all those millions hostages in the prison camp in Siberia? And all those hostages in the prisons of practically every country? Huh? Yeah. Let's have a big picture. Huh? Yes. Yes. All are slaves to the material sense. Did we put that right? Is that clear about the world sonshipping us? Again, it's just the state of consciousness. It's not the question, can I see it with my eyes? Can I hear it with my ears? It's a question, can I see it spiritually, in my consciousness? So just as Jesus beheld in signs the perfect man, so he can also see that the whole world sees me, and that's fatherhood, and affirms me that the sonship as the perfect man. It's an attitude. It's a spiritual attitude. And in this way, I think we would gain a terrific freedom. And we all have to work that out. It's not so easy in the human as we think it is. But if we go back to have a good theory, if we have a real good theory, which is given here, in the Christianity order, we have at least the basis from which to work it out over and over and over until we establish within ourselves more and more a reflex consciousness of the fatherhood of idea, the sonship of idea, and then this afternoon we'll take the motherhood of idea.